mighty. Yes, he is. Wonderful. Amen. Wonderful. Oh, isn't he? Hallelujah. He's my counselor. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And your testimony tonight is, yes, you are. Yes, you are. Amen. We once would say that because we read it in the Bible. Now you can say it because you've experienced it. It's still true because you read it in the Bible, but you know it personally. Isn't he? Amen. God bless you. Nice to be back here amongst the saints of God, the blessed and highly favored of God. This midweek service here tonight. So our young brother, Brasea, there was a prayer request Sunday night for healing, right? And we said there's healing in the cup. Was there healing in the cup? We thank the Lord. He just always honors his word, and we take him in his word. He'll prove his word, vindicate it. He's waiting. That's his desire, is to prove it to us. Amen? To bring it to pass. So I was thinking, before we read the scripture here tonight, I was thinking, last night we had a meeting here. That we have a monthly meeting with the ministers and the deacons, and another meeting with just the ministers, and as well as other meetings of different things. And so I was making my way here yesterday evening, and I was running a little late because I was trying to finish something at home, and I lost track of time. Something was broke that I was trying to fix, and I was right in the middle of it and concentrating. So anyway, I get here, and there's a whole bunch of vehicles in the parking lot. There's a one with a trailer and what have you, and my first thought was, oh, is there, you know, is this Wednesday night, or is there something going on? And I, you know, I missed it, or my calendar's off or whatever, but I start to make my way in, and somebody's vacuuming, and somebody else is doing something else, and the brothers are in there waiting for me. And, you know, a lot of times some of them get up at 4 o'clock in the morning or 5 o'clock in the morning, whatever, to go to work. And here we are, 6:30 in the evening, coming together to have meeting to talk about needs of the body and how we might serve the body better, and to just to communicate. And I was just kind of overcome with thanksgiving for one thing, but just looking around, I mean, all that the body does, there's just so much that's being done, and probably a lot of it doesn't get attention. Probably a lot of it doesn't get recognized. But he recognizes everything and sees everything. And it takes a body to accomplish these things. And I happened to go outside as we were leaving at about 9 o'clock. And I looked over, and there's a bunch of materials over there. There's going to be a overhang or patio built out front. Well, that didn't happen by itself. There are people that are making that happen. You know, a brother tells me that there's some software change with the website, and so things had to be reconfigured, and there was a little bit of difficulty, and worked through it, and told me that it's all fixed up. So what I'm telling you is there's so much going on. And so many that are contributing, and we just, my heart just is brimming with pride and thanksgiving, not foolish pride, but just, you know, I'm proud to be associated with a body like this. It's everyone just chipping in, everyone doing their part, everyone contributing, because nobody should do it all themselves, and nobody could do it all themselves. Everybody has a part, and you know, and that's not to mention just all the things that take place all the time, the musicians and the sound, and translation and the deacons, the trustees. You know, there's somebody that collects the tithes and offerings and records everything and is ready to give you a statement at the end of the year for your records. And that doesn't just happen on its own. And yet it happens, and nobody's getting credit for it or attention. And one of the really nice parts about it is that nobody's complaining. And I just, we are so blessed. Just doing it, just rolling up their sleeves, doing it, and recognizing that we're a body, recognizing that we're a family, and recognizing that everybody's motive and objective is right, and everybody's trying to do their best. Do we have difficulties? Do we have challenges? Of course we do. But we recognize that everybody's working together with one body and one mind, one accord, one purpose, and it's just a privilege to see how God works in a body. You know, we see how Satan is working in a body and how he's bringing some kind of a unity in the world, and he's trying to one-up God. He's trying to get his version of unity out there, but what a perverted form of unity. It's conform or else, and it's politics and it's pressure and what have you. But this is just, I was thinking about it, my heart was just brimming. Almost brought tears to my eyes as I was thinking about how this is all free will. You know, this is all, people volunteering to do things to serve others and not being concerned about whether they get recognized or rewarded. Believe me, you are being rewarded in this life and the life to come, but not in the way that the world would look at things. So I just wanted to, we just need to give some flowers and recognize some things every now and then, especially since the enemy will work on you and the enemy will try to convince you that, nobody appreciates me or nobody recognizes what I'm doing or what I'm doing probably doesn't make any difference. And that's a lie. That's a lie of the devil, and it's the devil trying to talk you out of doing what the Lord's put on your heart to do. You just go ahead and do it as unto the Lord, and we just thank you and ask the Lord to bless you all richly. And it's just, once again, it's just a privilege to be a part of this church. So I personally want to thank you and the brothers that also, I'm sure, would wholeheartedly join in. At their Thanksgiving as well. Let's stand. We apologize to you. There are plans for a harvest festival once again this year, and we aren't holding back on the date because we're holding back or we want to let you know at the last minute or whatever. The problem that we're running into is people getting back to us on dates and being able to rent facilities. And it's actually been that way for the last couple of years and continues to be that way. And so we've chosen some potential dates, and we're hoping that they'll get back to us. And we keep trying. It's not that we're just sitting back and waiting for something to happen. We keep trying to follow up, but we're just hoping that those dates will still be available when they do get back to us. It's worked out for us in the past, but it may turn out that we'll only have a month's notice instead of, two or three or what have you. So recognize that we're doing all that we can to not surprise you with some dates. But we do look forward to those times, and we look forward to getting together and something about the fall. It's sweet and bitter at the same time, isn't it? Fall, because death is in the air. Things are going into the ground. The leaves are changing color and they're falling off the tree. But there's a mellowness and a kind of a sweetness to it as well. And we also have a promise that that's not the end of it. There'll be another spring. There'll be a resurrection. So, amen. We'd like to read tonight from Luke, the 5th chapter, just a very simple thought, but it's what the Lord put on my heart, so I want to be obedient. Luke chapter 5, and starting at the first verse. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's. And of course, we know this Simon is later called Peter. And prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. What a powerful statement, friends. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, help, help, which were in the other ship, that they could come and help them. And they came and filled both ships so that they began to sink. Be careful what you ask for. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, for henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to the land, they forsook all and followed him. What a wonderful thought here this evening. And I want to just take as our text here tonight, at thy word, and I want to say after that, I will. At thy word, I will. At thy word, I will. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we come in this midweek service, we just ask that you'd strengthen each and every one, Lord. And we know that many of they've labored today, whether with school or whether with work or domestic affairs, whatever it might be. And being evening time, Lord, a lot of times we're weary when we come in, but we've come for our portion, Lord. We've come for our daily bread, and we know that you're faithful, Lord. And we're in great expectation that you have just what it is that we have need of tonight. So we pray, Lord, that you'd help us to get out of the way and let your word come forth and find its resting place, Lord. And may each and every one of us be quick, Lord, to just grab a hold of your word and get a hold of what it is that we have need of, Lord, and allow you to quicken it and to produce it in our lives. Father, we are a needy people here tonight, and the further we go, the longer that we walk with you, the more we recognize how totally dependent that we are upon you, and we long to be even more dependent upon you and to be more helpless in ourselves and completely dependent in expectation that you're going to meet our needs. Bless each and every one here tonight, Lord, those that are out sick and afflicted, those that are traveling, Father, and certainly those that are with us here tonight, bless each and every one. And Father, those that will listen in later, we ask that you bless them. And we surely will give you all praise and honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. At thy word, I will. At thy word, I will. So the scene of our story this evening is of the Lord Jesus. He's laboring in the region of northern Israel, which is known as the Galilee region. And he's been healing the sick, he's been teaching, he's been presenting the gospel of the new kingdom, he's been casting Satan and his kingdom down, and he's been speaking to those that would gather to hear. And surprisingly, unlike in Jerusalem, the place where the religious leaders are at, the place where they're looking for the coming of the Messiah, the place where they're studying the scrolls, the place where the temple has been built, where Solomon's temple still remains. Those people in that region wanted to criticize Jesus. And yet here in the northern regions, away from all of the religion, they're not debating with him. They're not arguing with him. They're not trying to trap him in his words. They're not trying to split hairs. They're not trying to embarrass him. They're not calling him Beelzebub everywhere that he goes. No, the common people are hearing him. They're hearing him gladly. Jews, Samaritans, and yes, even some Gentiles. And they set aside their daily tasks. Now, friends, they were just as busy as you and I. In order to partake of the divine healing and deliverance and to hear him as he brought forth the bread of life. No doubt they were tired. No doubt they were weary. No doubt they had very legitimate reasons to go home and rest. And yet they were stirred up because they heard what was going on in the land, and they wanted to have a part in this. They wanted to come and see for themselves, and they wanted to become partakers of it. They all had jobs to do. They had schools to attend. They had fields to plant, oxen to plow fields. They had houses to clean, meals to prepare. But they chose to make time to draw near to him. And as we've mentioned before, when we've in speaking of other times when he ministered in this particular region, the crowds would become so large that it was a challenge to speak to them in any place. The region was dotted with hills, and such as the one that Jesus spoke from when speaking the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, if you will. There were some small valleys in the area as well. And then there was this great big lake, Lake Gennesaret, which is also known as the Sea of Galilee. And it had a big shoreline around it. And on the western, northwestern shoreline, there was room there for people to gather. And as we've seen before, Jesus took advantage of the fact that sound travels, it carries well across calm waters. And so he looked for a ship to board so that the people could all gather together on the shoreline. There'd be a place for them to gather. And then he could move away from the shore, and he could sit in the bow of the boat and speak to them. And they would be able to hear him. And this had the added benefit of giving him space to minister to the people the word without the press of the people that were, there were so many that were just desiring to just touch him. And they were desiring to receive other things from him that were promised to the church by him. And so we find out that there were two ships that were nearby, just near the shore, and he noticed that they were docked, and he noticed that they were empty. And he could see that the fishermen that owned these boats, they were through with their fishing, and they were washing their nets, and it was the end of their work day, if you will. They'd fished all night, and then they come in, and they take their tackle, and they clean it up, and they're stowing it away, and they're getting it prepared for to go out the next evening. And on this particular day, they'd been out casting their nets, but the fish weren't in the mood. And no doubt, the fish were probably in deeper waters. And, you know, there's something, and of course, being fishermen, you know, they looked at the tides, they looked at the phase of the moon, the time of the year, probably looked to see if the cows were out eating in the field, and there's just things that you can learn from nature if you are willing to stop long enough and pay attention to these things. If the cows are not up feeding, well, the fish aren't going to bite. We've found that to be true many times when we go deer hunting. You know, we notice that the cows are all laying around, and, well, the deer are usually laying around too. But when the cows get up and they start feeding, well, then the deer are doing the same thing. So you can kind of see these patterns. And so no doubt this is their livelihood. So they knew that the fish weren't biting, and they probably knew the reason, but they had to go to work anyway. They had to make their attempt. And so they had labored all night and they didn't catch anything. How discouraging. This wasn't like the brothers taking a little time off to go fishing and have a little bit of fellowship. Those are different kind of circumstances, friends. Because we can go out and fish together and fellowship, and if we don't catch anything, it was still a good day. We would still say, I'm thankful that I went, because I got the fellowship, and because I wasn't at work, or I wasn't at home, or I was going to say I wasn't mowing the lawn, I wasn't raking the rocks, or picking the weeds, whatever it might be. So even if you don't catch anything, you know, it's still a good day. It's still, you still are happy that you got away and that you had that time. But this is different in this situation. These men depended on catching fish because that was their livelihood. It's what they did for a living. That's how they paid their rent. That's how they put food on the table, put shoes on their kids' feet. So we can imagine that they were, I guess, a little discouraged. That might be an understatement. And no doubt they were tired. They'd fished all night. And you know, sometimes when nothing's going on, you know, you would think sometimes that when you're real busy, that that's when you're going to be the most tired. Sometimes when nothing's going on, you can end up being more tired, especially if your heart is heavy and, you know, you're a little bit blue, you're a little bit disappointed. You can feel more of a tiredness than you would if you'd caught a whole bunch of fish and had been real active. So perhaps it was the early part of the day and they were finishing their work and they would perhaps go and rest and then go out again in the evening. And Jesus shows up and he boards Simon's ship. And he asked if he would push away from the shore so that he could speak to the people. Tired as they were, no doubt, they accommodated him. They push off. And then the scripture says that Jesus sat down and began to teach those that had gathered to hear him. Notice, friends, that the fishermen were also hearing him as he taught the word. And they were tired. They had every reason to say, well, you know, go ahead and take the boat. We're going to go home and sleep because we got to go out and fish tonight. And we're a little depressed. We're a little this or a little that. And we're going to go to Disneyland instead. And but instead, they stayed and they listened to what he had to say as he taught the word. And we know that the loaves and fishes were important, and we know that it was a part of what Jesus came to do. But the main part was and is always the bringing forth of the word. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. And it's the only way that it comes, friends. Wouldn't you have liked to have been on one of those two ships, or even been on the shore to hear the Creator himself bringing forth the words of life? And when he was through teaching, we don't know how long he taught, but I don't think it was a half hour sermon, because they go out to throw their nets out again. Well, they would fish in the evening time. They were cleaning their nets in the morning as they'd come back in. So about a good part of the day had gone by. He gets through teaching, and I'm sure that the crowd still remained near because they knew that he had to come back to the shore. And I'm sure that many of them wanted to meet him or come in contact with him as he would pass their way and needs would be met. But now he's tired. He's already been amongst the people. He started there. He's already felt the pull of the people, and now he's ministered to the people a good part of the day, and he's wore out. And he tells Simon, launch out into the deep. And Simon does so. And he tells him, let down the net. Now, friends, imagine having a night just like they had. And then being asked by a preacher, a carpenter, no less. He's not a fisherman, right? And he's saying, cast down your net. You know, just like you did the night before. And it wasn't that you didn't catch just a few. You didn't catch any, right? And, you know, as we've mentioned before, Albert Einstein made a statement one time that, you know, sometimes these little statements just stick around and they become part of our vernacular after a while. Einstein said the definition of insanity is to do the same thing and expect different results. And that, no doubt, that's going through their minds. Why? First of all, we're fishermen. Been there, done that. We're as hopeful as anybody else, but hope doesn't get it done. Why would we go out and repeat what we just did? It didn't work. But then Simon answered him. It's just amazing. It's incredible. It tells me that he has been hearing the word. It tells me that something has happened to him. It tells me that something has struck him. Because Simon answered him and he said, Master, we've toiled. We've labored all night. We've already tried fishing right here, right where you're telling us to drop the net. We've done that. And we didn't catch a single fish all night. But then Simon said the right thing. He said, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Powerful statement, friends. Nevertheless, here my thinking says this. My ability says this. Nevertheless, at thy word. Not at what somebody else said, not at what I say, not at what I think, but at thy word, I will let down the net. No doubt he was thinking, you know what? I don't understand what's going on. But I've sat with you. And I've heard you minister the word. And our hearts were stirred. Something was happening. I just gripped. I felt like I was in the Bible days. I felt like I was sitting amongst one of the Old Testament prophets. I'm hearing this word go forth. I'm hearing him speak about a kingdom that's being ushered in. And this man is not just speaking fine words and swelling words, but he's backing them up. There's a vindication that's coming. People are being healed. People are being delivered. Captives are being set free. People that are lame and halt, they're walking again. People that are blind, they can see. People that are deaf, they can hear. People that are without hope are filled with hope. People that were sinners, ranked sinners, are now in their right minds. Something's happening here. I don't understand it all, but I don't want to leave this. I want to be part of whatever's happening. How easy it would have been instead, friends, to say, you know, I've asked for prayer for that 100 times now, and nothing has happened. Why should I throw the net out again? Didn't work before. I hope somebody's listening tonight. I asked God for my family 40 years ago, and they're still not confessing Him as their Savior. What's the matter? Why should I ask again? But you see, that's the difference between asking God for something that you want Him to do and that you're hoping Him to do it, hoping that He'll do it, and hearing God speak to you from His word and you taking Him at His word. When they cast the net out and the net was full of fish, who put the fish in there? The word. They didn't do it. He did. It was at thy word. You see, friends, when you hear His word and you know that He's speaking to you, I'm talking about just right out of the pages of the Bible. But it's not just, you're not just reading it and, oh, well, this is for whosoever will. But all of a sudden, you just know He's talking to me. He has promised me this. No matter what happens with anybody else, He said that, and I believe it. and I'm taking him at his word. When you know that he's speaking it to you and it anchors in your soul, then you ask. And you know that what you are asking for will be given to you. It will be done. Not maybe, not might. Because it's not you doing it. It's him. So Simon labored all night doing what he thought was right. And nothing happened. Ever have that experience? Not saying you threw out a net and labored all night. But we step out to do the best that we know to do, and nothing happens. But this time, the difference is, it's at thy word I will let down the net. Not because I think, not because the brother said, not because the chart said, not because the farmer's almanac, not because the moon. At thy word I will let down the net. So he's taken him at his word, friends, and he's doing what he's doing in direct response to the word that was spoken to him. Oh, I can't overemphasize that tonight. There's a key being given to you tonight. He's not reacting to, I wish this would, and I wish that, or I hope, or here's what I want done. He's reacting directly to the word that's been revealed to him. That's been spoken to him, and he's agreeing with the word. So this time it's at thy word, I will let down the net. So he's taking him at his word. He's doing what he's doing in direct response to the word that was spoken to him. That's why it's so important to come together to hear the word. How are you going to have faith except you hear? You can make all the excuses. Well, the fishermen could have too. They could have said, we've been up all night and we're tired and this and that. But no, they stayed to hear the word. And then what happened? You know, friends, we've had meetings in the past. It tears the pastor's heart. I can't make any of you stay. I wouldn't make any of you stay. But if I could talk you into it, I would. But we've had meetings where there's some worship taking place towards the end of the service, and maybe it feels like things are kind of being stretched out, if you will. And if you're not careful, you'll give in to that, and you'll get anxious, and you'll get, well, nothing's going to happen. I got to work. I've got this idea, that. And then as soon as you leave, something happens. The place erupts. Amen? There were two things going on. One, there was people waiting for God to vindicate his word. Now, friends, don't look at me that way and don't think those thoughts. God wants to do it every service. It's a shame that we've gotten used to, well, it ain't supposed to happen every time. Or I'm tired, or he shouldn't keep us that long, or my leg hurts. That's you. God wants to vindicate his word. There shouldn't be a sick person walk out of the building. Every time we come together and hear the word, there shouldn't be a discouraged person leave the building. There shouldn't be any doubt. There shouldn't be a question when you leave the building, because your question got answered. You petitioned the Lord. You had a need, and he spoke to you. And sometimes we got to give him a chance to prove it, to vindicate it, to quicken it. So that we don't go out with an idea in our head, but we go out with life. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm going to preach here in just a minute. You see, when you hear the word and you know that he's speaking to you, it anchors in your soul. And you know that you are going to get what he's revealed to you. You know it. So Simon labored all night doing what he thought was right, and nothing happened. That's not to say that we shouldn't labor all night. That's not to say that those things won't happen. Sometimes we might not have a direct leading on something. Here I'm speaking of something natural. This is his, this is his vocation, so he's got to fish. What's the alternative? Stay home. And his wife said, well, how do you know you weren't going to catch something? Right? Throw it out there anyway. I worked in a restaurant business for at least 10 years, I think. And I can remember times where you're just looking at the clock. Nothing's going on. And the day is just dragging. I'd rather be busy any day than to have a day with no customers. The clock tick, tick, tick. You can hear the ticks in between the ticks. And it's just dragging and dragging and dragging. And you're just waiting for closing time. And that's all you can think about. And it's just, you're about to go crazy. Then this big bus shows up. It's funny because if the bus would have showed up earlier, you're rejoicing. But when they show up 10 minutes before closing, and you're thinking, you know, we should have just closed because nobody came. Well, if you do that, it'll be self-fulfilling. Nobody will come. There's a, I guess it isn't Nico's anymore. What is it called? Fido's, yeah. Play around with Fido's, Nico's, Nacho's, Nicho's, whatever. Change the name. It's pretty much the same, thankfully. I think it's still in the family. It's just part of, different part of the family's running it. So, you know, we have a service on Wednesday night, and maybe I'm a little hungry on the way home, and they close at 9 o'clock, and we get there at 8:45, and Sister Baker gets out of the van, goes to pull on the door, and it says open. There's somebody there clearing out the cash register, but they've closed. And they've done that several times, and I've been tempted, I keep telling her, call somebody and complain. Well, that's probably the owner. Well, that's happened to us several times, right? They closed because it's getting close to closing time and it's been slow and nobody's coming in. But then somebody came in. But you couldn't serve them because you're closed. You closed early. So, of course, what am I trying to say? What I'm trying to say is just because nothing happened, don't give up. So Simon has taken him at his word. He's doing what he's doing in direct response to the word that was spoken to him. And he knew who it was that spoke the word to him. He knew he didn't imagine it. The word himself spoke to him. And so he did just what the word said to do versus what he thought to do. Or what he tried to do according to his own thinking. And when they let down the net was so full of fish that the net began to break. I can't imagine that. And they called out to the other ship to come and take some of these fish. And there were still too many fish, even for the two ships to handle. And the scripture tells us, and the ships began to sink. Now I wonder what happened. It didn't tell us after that. Did they sink? They began to sink. And when Simon saw this, he fell at Jesus' feet and he cried out to him and said, depart from me because I'm a sinful man. I'm not worthy of this. Well, who said you are worthy? I didn't do it because you are worthy. And they were absolutely amazed at what had taken place. And we know that Simon was later called Peter. And with him were James and John. So there's Peter, James, and John, if you will. The apostles, the Lord's disciples as well. And Jesus said to them, fear not, for after this, I will make you fishers of men. So first, we're going to do a little bit of natural fishing. But then I'm going to take this and make you a fisherman of men. So they were fishermen by trade. But now they're being called by the Lord to catch souls for the kingdom. Now, friends, in the same way that when they cast the nets out, he's the one that filled it with the fish. And they did it according to his word. He's wanting them to see a pattern here. I'm going to make you fishers of men. They're not going to catch a single man. It is not going to be their ministry. It's not going to be their church. They are going to do the same thing in the spiritual sense. They're going to cast out the gospel net, and he's going to put fish in it. He's going to put souls in that net, which they're going to bring in at thy word. They're not going to take credit for it. It's him that's going to do it. And that must have been encouraging to them later on. They probably, no doubt, looked back and reflected on it, you know, because even as a minister, you can go out and you don't maybe have a specific leading, or maybe you feel, you know, maybe we should have meetings here or meetings there, and the Lord's not telling me to do it. He's not telling me not to do it. We just see the opportunity. Don't see any reason not to do it, and maybe you do it and you don't get any results. But then there's times when the Lord will speak to you and say, go here and have meetings, or go there and have meetings, or go do this, or go do that, right? And it could be the very same place that you tried before. But this time he told you to go. And this time you throw out the net and he puts fish in there. And you realize you're following his leading. And it's at thy word. Oh, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So they were led of the Spirit, and no doubt they would preach when and where they could. But there were times that it seems to be all effort and no fruit. But then the Lord speaks to you and tells you, try again. And you say, at thy word, and souls come to the kingdom. Friends, it's that way with needs in our lives. It's that way with things and petitions that we put before the Lord. Sometimes we don't feel an unction. Sometimes we don't, the faith isn't there, perhaps. We've accepted it in our mind. We believe in our mind that God wants to do such and such, but there's still a little bit of nervousness, a little bit of doubt, a little bit of fear. And so we try to do it and we get frustrated. And then when the Lord does put it on our heart, then Satan tries to talk us out. Well, you know how that went before, and don't listen to that preacher. He's telling you, why don't you cast the net out tonight? Well, don't listen to that. You know how that worked out. That's never going to work out. But friends, when he speaks to you, that's the difference. So what I want us to notice here tonight for just a few more minutes in particular is the mechanics of the kingdom of heaven. God has a work that he's doing in every age. And he needs flesh to work through. He needs flesh to work through. And so the way that he gets his work done is that he speaks to his children his word, and they take him at his word. They only believe, which sounds like you're not doing so much. Only believe. Well, that ain't nothing. Try it. But friends, except there be someone here on the earth to believe and to take him at his word will continue to remain in heaven, will continue to orbit the earth, looking for the right bedding ground here on the earth so that it can find that bedding ground and grow roots and begin to produce what he sent it to do. So what we should seek with all of our heart is to hear his word to us. Let me say that again. That should be our number one goal. That's why we shouldn't miss a service. I'm not saying, you understand. I'm not going to keep qualifying it. Of course, you get an ox in the ditch. Of course, you take vacation. Of course, all that. We get that. But if you can come to church and your desire is to be somewhere else besides church, there's something wrong with you. And it's no wonder you're not prospering. Because the only way you're going to see him in your life is by faith. And faith will only come by the hearing of the word. Until we hear his word, friends, and know that it's him that's speaking to us, we can't have confidence in what we're doing. And I didn't say read his word. I said hear his word. I was in the Baptist church from the time I was six till, well, I don't know when we backslid and quit going to church, but I was 28 before the Lord got a hold of me and revealed his message to me, revealed his word to me. I'd read all the scriptures then that I'm reading now, but how many of them were fulfilled in my life? And I claimed to believe them, and I thought I did, but how many of them were fulfilled? In other words, they weren't real to me, though I had accepted it here. So what we're saying is, when you are hearing his word, he's speaking to you. He's revealing it to you. Believe that. This is for you. Stand on that. It's simple, friends. It's not complicated. Faith is simple, but you have to hear it. And you have to set aside your unbelief. And you have to set aside your fear. And you have to set aside your doubts. And you have to set aside trying to do something yourself, trying to work it out yourself. Until we hear his word and know that he's speaking that to us, in other words, it's revealed to you, you can't have confidence in what you're doing. You're hoping. And we aren't sure if what we're asking for will happen or not. And that's the worst place to be as Christians. I hope somebody's listening tonight. God doesn't want you to wonder about his word concerning you and his word concerning his church. And God's not looking for you to come up with a plan. You planners, I'm speaking to you tonight. We got some real planners here tonight. Your plans and 50 cents, well, that won't even get you a cup of coffee anymore because of inflation. God doesn't need your plan. If you got a plan, you don't need God. The problem with your plan is it's your plan. And now you're going to pray for God to bring your plan to pass. Let's just strip the wool off tonight. Let's just strip all the fluff, all the padding, all the stilts, all the props. Let's strip it all away, friends, and recognize God is not looking for you to bring his word to pass in your life. God's not looking for you to come up with a plan. This is his work. This is his word. This is his plan. This is his will being done here on the earth as it is in heaven. And his word has the power to bring it to pass. And what he's looking for is a believing and surrendered heart. He's looking for somebody that will just say, Lord, let it be. At thy word, be it unto me according to thy word. I take you at your word, Lord. But we cannot be a bedding ground for his word when we aren't taking him at his word. I'm trying to help you with your struggle. What do I got to do? Quit. Stop. Go back to square one. Go back to first base. What does his word say? You know, when people are seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they're always looking for an experience. They're always looking for a feeling. They're always looking for something besides what they should be looking for. What you should be looking for is, God, did you promise this to me or not? What did you promise to me? Reveal that to me. Show me that that's for me. Friends, that's the same recipe for healing. That's the same recipe for deliverance. It's the same recipe for your salvation. You've got the only thing you can do is take him at his word. So you must know that that's his word to you. And then you must, then you say, God, help me to believe that. Help me to accept it. Take away my fears, my doubts, my nervousness. Then a peace comes in. Then a rest comes in. then a knowing comes in. Then it doesn't matter if it happens tonight, tomorrow, next week, or 20 years from now. You know that it's going to happen. And you're not struggling with it. You're not combating it. You're not fighting it. And you're not saying, what do I got to do? You did what you got to do. You said, God, I take you at your word. At thy word. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Satan can take advantage of us, especially when we're new in the faith, young believers. He'll remind us of what God once done in our lives and in the lives, perhaps, of those that we know and love. And then he'll pressure us to call on God to do whatever he said that he would do and to do it right now. How do you know God wants to do it right now? He never said when. He just said he would do it. And we'll say, God, I believe you. I believe that this is your will. And so, I'm asking, Lord, for you to do this today. Or I'm asking this one or that one to pray. Join me in prayer that it'll happen today. Well, I don't know if it'll happen today. I will join you in prayer that it'll happen. Yes. Come on, friends. Yes. We're not in charge. He is. Yes. There's not any of us that can make it happen. Do you realize everything he'll ever do for you, he already did. He already saved you. He already healed you. He already delivered you. He's already done these things, and he's given you his word. And now he wants what he's already done in heaven to be manifested here on the earth. But you have to take him at his word and let him do it. That's where the real Christian walk is at. That's where the peace is at. That's where the joy is at. That's where the rest is at. The only way that you'll find it is to take him at his word. Your rest is knowing that he's going to do it. Your rest is you've committed it to him. Your rest is your confidence in his word. That his word cannot fail. That he will do what he said he was going to do. And the more you take him at his word, the more you want to take him at his word. The more that you take him at his word, the more you believe him. The more you take him at his word, the more you trust him. You learn to trust him. Because by experience after experience of him performing his word in your life, it gets to the place where you just want to be led by him all the time. You're not anxious about tomorrow. Because you know the same God that's leading you today is going to be there to lead you tomorrow. The same God that's providing for you today is going to provide for you tomorrow. There's no risk. There's no maybe. There's no wonder. It's amen and amen. But it starts by taking him at his word. And sometimes we just need, friends, I realize this is a simple message tonight, but sometimes we need to just come back to the simplicity and realize, why do I even believe God? Because he said so. Well, how do I? Because he said so. Well, what should I? What he said. Well, how? What he said. Let him do the thinking. Let him do the planning. Let him set the dates. You mean I shouldn't ask? Of course you should ask. And you should hold out and believe. But rest. Knowing that it's going to happen. Don't get in a panic. When you're in a panic, you're not resting. God does not want you to be in a panic. When you're in a panic, it's because you are taking the responsibility for it yourself. It's his plan. Somebody help me out tonight. Amen. So don't misunderstand what I'm saying here tonight, friends. We do believe in joining our faith together. We do believe in praying together, and so on and so forth. But we need to make sure that we're not trying to do something ourselves, because that's a recipe for disappointment. Or that we're trying to make something happen ourselves. Or that we're trying to dictate when something must be. I've seen that so many times. One time a brother told me, he said, I prayed to God. And I said, Lord, if you don't want me to do such and such, close the door. And I thought right then, and I knew that there was nothing I could say. Because he'd already made up his mind. And I thought, you're going to do this no matter what. And you're saying, God, if you close the door, then I guess it wasn't your will, and I'll accept that. Well, the door would have closed. He would have had a fit. But guess what? The door didn't close, and it turned out it wasn't the Lord's will. And now he's mad at God for not stopping him. That would be like Grayson saying, Grandpa, I'm going to run out into the street, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And I want you to, you know, if there's a problem there, I want you to stop whatever the problem is, but I'm going to do this. Well, I don't know what's going to happen. What you ought to do is say, God, show me, lead me. I don't want to launch out and presume. That's very dangerous. That's venturing without authority. I want to be led every step of the way. Everything that I do, I want to be able to say, God is in it. Or I did this because the Lord led me to. And if he didn't, I'm not going to do anything. Satan will put pressure on us for choices, decisions. Oh, I'm not sure what to do. Should I move here? Should I live there? Should I marry this one? Should I da-da-da-da-da-da? All these other things, right? And Satan will put pressure on us, and we'll make a panic choice or decision, right? God wants to lead you. This is so simple tonight, friends. If we could just get back to the simplicity of it. Maybe we've experienced it in the past, and maybe we've gotten a little bit cold, or we haven't been led of the Lord on a routine basis. Maybe we've gotten used to our own voice, our own thoughts, our own leading, feeling like we're spiritual. Maybe we have been spiritual. I don't know. But the simplicity of it is to be led. And led means you don't, he does. You don't decide, he does. You don't plan, he does. You're asking, should I do this? Should I do that? Right? Show me. Does he want to show you? Well, how come I don't hear? Because you're not stopping long enough to listen. He made it such that a fool could not err therein. He made it such that a child could hear his voice. But it comes down to that. You want to be happy? You want that peace that passes all understanding and the rest? Make sure every day when you get up, you're saying, Lord, what should I do? What would you have me do? Oh, I ran into this situation at work and it was just horrible and everything was this, that, and the other. That's the time to stop and say, God, I know you're in this. I know you're leading me. I know I'm not all alone. Show me what to do. Shut my mouth that that's what I'm supposed to do. Come on, friends. Everything doesn't have to be a patch-up. Everything doesn't have to be, well, let's go to church and pray because this didn't work out and that didn't work out. How about putting God before you? Then even if it doesn't seem like it's right, you know it is anyway. Because he gave you the peace ahead of time. Somebody say, praise the Lord. This is a job for weaklings. We're too strong. Too headstrong. Trying to lead ourselves. And then ask, and then use God as a genie in a bottle. Pull the cork, tell him to come out, grant our three wishes, and then get back in the bottle. Friends, he doesn't want to be your genie.
Right.
He wants to be your God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. So we need to make sure that we aren't trying to do something ourselves, or that we're trying to make something happen ourselves, or to dictate when it must be. In other words, don't let Satan pressure you into crying out for something that God hasn't yet revealed to you. But I'm afraid. Why are you afraid? Isn't he your God? Isn't he leading you? Isn't he guiding you? Isn't he watching over every part of your life? Well, why doesn't he, and why doesn't... The question is goes back to you. Why aren't you? Why aren't you just taking him at his word? Why aren't you surrendering? Why aren't you letting him prove himself to you? You and me, we're having church tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'll preach it. You say amen. Come on, friends. I feel like I'm being picked on. You're being helped. This is the only way it works for all of us. You see, that's where our fears and our worries come from as Christians. It's when we're trying to figure out what I should do, how, and plan, and this and that. There's a saying in the military, which we've heard quoted many times on the job site, and it's so true. There is no plan that survives first contact. In other words, you make your plans, we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and we're going to do the other, and if they do this, we'll do this, and if they do that, we'll do that, and then we'll do this, and we'll do that. So you plan it all out. I'm not saying that they don't need to make their plans. Of course they do. But as soon as you make contact with the enemy, something happens that you didn't plan for. And now you got to improvise. Right? What chance, Sister Naomi, what chance do we have of possibly coming up with the right plan? We let the devil beat us up so much. Well, I did this wrong, or I did that wrong. I tried this and messed up there. It ain't your plan. And God's going to fulfill his plan in spite of your mistakes. You're not going to make it happen, and you're not going to keep it from happening. It's his word. It's his will. Our job is to accept it and to be at peace with it, to be content with it. Whatever it is. As we were talking about, you know, just the different things that people are doing in the church, there are some people that have never complained. Never. And you don't even know that they're doing anything. But they're doing it because they feel like the Lord wants them to do it. Oh, but it isn't glamorous and it's unappreciated. Oh, he appreciates all of it. Every bit of it. And it's being done for the kingdom. And it will have eternal consequences. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This walk is a walk of peace. It's a walk of rest. Not fear, not worry, not doubt, not wonder. There's a saying that's so true. The thing that you fear, you'll bring upon yourself. It'll become self-fulfilling. Because that's where your faith is at. God wants us to depend entirely upon him. God wants us to take him at his word. God wants us to know that he has his word for you. There's nothing that he's left out. Come and hear it. Oscar will hear one thing, and it'll just absolutely be whatever it was that he had need of. Preacher won't have a clue, won't have an idea what Oscar was asking and God told him. But Oscar goes home, well, I got what I needed. Christina hears something else, and she goes home, well, I didn't get that, I got this. That's what she needed. Come on, friends. Whatever you ask for, believing, that's what you shall have. So our focus ought to be on the believing part and the knowing what to ask. What is your word? What do you want to happen in my life, Lord? That's the thing you ask for. But we need to be reminded now and then that the pressure is not on us. We see people struggling, and our hearts go out to them. Been there, done that. But we realize the struggling is self-inflicted if you're a Christian. Because He has everything you have need of, and He wants you to have it. And He will perform His word concerning you. He will bring it to pass. But we must look to Him. And we must depend on Him. And we must believe Him. And we must take Him at His word. We must wait on Him. We must put our trust in Him. We must confess Him. And if we want to see His word fulfilled in our lives, we must look for His word. So just as one quick example, I've got a few statements I'm going to read, we'll pull over, but this just came on my heart last night. As an example, because there can be some confusion around this at times. As an example, we've been promised that we and our house can be saved. Is that right?
Amen.
How many believes that?
Amen.
So does that mean that somehow we got to do something to save our loved ones? Yes or no? Let me ask you this. Did you save yourself? Did you do something to save yourself? Then why do you think you need to do something to save somebody else? Wait a minute, I'm confused. I hope we'll clear up your confusion. This is from Melchizedek, the great prince and king. Brother Branham says, now we found salvation that will save us from sin, that will take the vilest woman or man, drunkard, prostitute, and make them a child of God. Well, that same faith, that same power that will lift up a fallen man or woman with that, it'll work for us in many different ways. It'll heal our bodies if you can just find the right approach. You've got to find out how to do it. Like, if I had a farm over on this hill full of good corn, and it's just about dead on account of water, and I got an artesian well on this side of the hill, well, I can't make the artesian well throw the water down here and up this side of the hill to water it, but I've got to survey that land and find out how that water will take its own current and course and come around and water that crop. It'll do it if I'll just let it run its own channel. And that's the same thing that the Holy Spirit is in God's promise. If we'll just let it run its way and not get us in the way. See, we can't see many times how God's working something out. So we put our hands to it and we start directing it this way or that because it looks like it's going this way and that. Well, you don't know what God's doing. He's working something out. And sometimes he's got to let it get rotten. Sometimes he's got to let it. Friends, do you realize the greatness of God is expressed the greatest when it looks impossible? Well, it must not be because it looks, well, good. Because now when it does happen, you'll know that it was God. if you'll just let it run its way, not get us in the way, not us throw our doubts there. Because this didn't, and that didn't. We're always looking for evidence. Well, we prayed, but, you know, it got a little worse, or this happened, or that happened. Just let God's Holy Spirit working in you rest upon the promise. It'll do just exactly what God said it would. So we got to find that place of rest, right? We got to find that secret place where we're taking God at His word, where we're asking God, God, give me your word concerning this. Show me your way. Show me your word. He'll reveal it to you. And then there's a peace that comes. There's a rest that comes. And then we can stand right there and say, I don't know how. I don't know when. I don't know where. All I know is, hallelujah, it's in His hands. And He's going to perform what He said He was going to do. That's the Christian walk. Abraham was an old man, 100 years old, when God appeared to him in the name of Almighty God. The Almighty there comes from the Hebrew word El Shaddai, which means bosom or breast of a woman. Now, he was old. His strength was gone, but El Shaddai is the Almighty, the strength giver. And all Abraham had to do to obtain this promise was lay right on that promise. Other words, like the baby to its mother, and nurse from the mother strength for the baby. And we do the same thing when we come to God and see His promise. We just lay right to Him and draw from His word the strength of God. Given in its course, not taking our own mind. Isn't this what we've been saying? We lay in His word. The word is where the strength is. Not taking our own mind. Whew. JJ, I don't have to worry any longer. The devil told me, what's your plan? Jesus Christ. What are you going to do? Nothing. How's it going to happen? Talk to the boss. Abraham was an old man, 100 years old, when God appeared to him in the name of Almighty God. The Almighty there comes from the Hebrew word El Shaddai, which means the bosom or the breast of a woman. Now he was old, his strength was gone, but El Shaddai is the Almighty, the strength giver. And all Abraham had to do to obtain this promise was lay right on that promise. In other words, like a baby to its mother, nurse from the mother, strength for the baby. And we do the same thing when we come to God and see His promise. We lay right to Him and draw from His word the strength of God, given in its course. Notice that, given in its course. In other words, you lay on it, it doesn't mean it's going to move right then. Given in its course, not taking our own mind, just believing it. After He had endured, He obtained the promise. Oh, I just love that. Friends, there's no other recipe. No other way. He goes on to say, now the same thing works for salvation. Same does it work for divine healing. How God in His great love and infinite mercy give it to us. Now saying, surely I will bless thee and will multiply thee. And so after He had patiently endured, how are you going to get patience? Wait. So after He had patiently endured, He endured the promise, 16th verse, for men verily swear by a greater, and an oath is confirmation, is to them an end of all strife. In other words, if the oath is sworn, then that's the end of all things. If God said it, that's it. If you come and say, Brother Branham, I'll, as a Christian, put my hand upon the Bible and solemnly swear that I'll do a certain thing, if God let me live to do it, I'll do it. All right. Then to me, that's the end of all doubting. See, you have swore to me that you will do it. We got to take Him at His word, friends. Got to settle that. First of all, is this your word? It is. Is this for me? It is. Okay, God, I'm going to pay you the highest compliment. I'm going to show you the greatest measure of love that I can show you by taking you at your word.
Amen.
I'm going to believe you.
Amen.
Period. That's it.
And
God swore to Abraham that he would keep this covenant with him and with his seed forever. God swore by himself that he would do it. And in doing so, under the old law, when you made an oath under the old law, you killed an animal, you cut it in two, and then the two men on the earth, which the oath was taken by, stood between the animal, and they wrote out on a piece of paper a certain contract, and that piece of paper was torn apart and given to one and to the other man, and they took an oath over this dead animal that if they broke that covenant between them, let them be as this dead animal. So God, having no other to swear by, he swore by himself. AJ, I love this. It's not, if you do this, I'll do that. God already proved that I can't keep my end of it. So it's not conditional on me. God said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep both sides of the contract. I'm going to swear to you, right? I'm going to swear to you, this is what I'm going to do. Then I'm going to come down, I'm going to save you, cleanse you, sanctify you. I'm going to fill you with my own spirit. And then I'm going to come down in you and keep the other part. I made you the promise. I'm going to fulfill the promise. I said I was going to do this. I'm going to do it. It's all him, friends. That takes away all the fear. That takes away all the doubt. You've got to be convinced. He'll do it. He'll do it. He'll do it. And then you'll start saying he'll do it again. He'll do it again. He'll do it again. Oh, blessed be his wonderful name. Take him at his word, friends. That piece of paper was torn apart, given to one, to the other, and they took an oath over the dead animal that if they broke that contract between them, let them be as this dead animal. Let them be torn apart. So God, having no other to swear by, he swore by himself, and he took an oath over the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, foreseeing it in a shadow. And in the covenant, when he took Christ to Calvary, he tore his body and his soul apart. And he lifted up his body to set on his right hand and sent back the Holy Spirit to be in the Christian, to do the same thing here in the church that he did in Christ when he was here on the earth. So he made you a promise, but then he comes in to fulfill the promise. To do the same thing here in the church that he did in Christ when he was here on the earth. How's my family going to get saved? By you surrendering and letting him save your family? But what do I? Let him do it. Take him at his word. And proving by that, that he will raise us up in the last days to sit with him and be with him in his kingdom. I added a couple more. So it's in the latest copy. Sorry. I should have let you know I updated it. Anyway, the message, Abraham. Brother Bram said, now these Greek scholars here would tell you that the word there in the Greek is sozo, which means just exactly like saved physically or saved spiritually, in same in translation. So sozo, thy faith has, so he says, thy faith has saved thee. And he's using that word sozo. Thy faith saves thee from hell. Thy faith saves thee from death. Thy faith saved thee from sickness. See, it's sozo, the same word. So the same faith that you have in God for your salvation, listen closely now, The same faith that you have in God for your salvation is the same faith you use for your healing. Just simple. Believe it. Act upon it. It doesn't take any sensations. It doesn't take anything in the world, but just common faith. You don't have to feel nothing. You don't. Only thing that you have to do is believe something. Believe that Jesus died that you might be saved. And it's yours. Faith is so simple. The problem is in our approach. We do accept it, I believe, in our minds. But then we try to figure out how to make it happen. Or we look for some kind of evidence. And we keep it from us. Because we're not believing. We're struggling. I've done it. Friends, if anybody... This is a struggle for all of us. And we learn how to not struggle. I used to struggle. I don't struggle any... Spiritually speaking, I don't struggle. Physically, I struggle a whole lot less. Even though I'm getting older. I struggle a whole lot less than I did when I was younger and actually had more ability. Still had a memory. But you learn to lean. You learn to depend. You learn to trust. You learn to commit. You learn to listen. And with every step that you take that way, you see another vindication and another vindication. And that causes you to want to learn to lean a little bit more. Praise His wonderful name. Again, in the message, Thy House. Brother Rand says, I know we all think our kids is renegades and things like that, but we must stop that. Friends, when I first came into the message, there's a lot of things that I heard were just wacko, and I thought, here I'm hearing the truth for the first time in my whole life. I've been going to church and been part of the denominations. All these questions are being answered, and now I'm hearing some real wacko stuff, right? Get around groups that are off on a tangent, and they say, oh, yeah, our kids, you know, they used to go to church, and they used to follow this message, but they don't anymore, and they went out in the world. They're just serpent seed. What is wrong with you? Did you hear Jesus talk that away about the church? What is the matter with you? You're not even a normal human being, let alone a Christian. With that kind of an attitude, your child is serpent seed. When you say that, you're not even praying for him. Because there's no point in praying for serpent seed, as if you know who is and who isn't. That's what Brother Bram's getting to right here. He says, don't do that. Maybe your kid is living like the world. Don't call him a renegade. We must stop that. I believe that we must remember that these kids are the best kids in the world. Now, he's saying that by faith. And faith is real. He's not hoping that this turns out to be true. He believes it. Why? Because the Word has given him that faith. And you've got to find that very same faith if you want to make the same statement. I believe that we must remember that these kids are the best kids in the world because they're our children. And we claim them for God. Now, you're not claiming them for bride. He chose His bride. You didn't choose yourself. He did. For salvation, whole different story, friends. Because they're our children and we claim them for God. Now, your salvation will not save that child. Are we listening? Your salvation, so you're not taking, well, the fact that I'm saved means they're saved. No, it don't. Your salvation will not save that child. But now Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thy
and thy house shall be saved. Now, what did he mean by that? He didn't mean that because they were saved, that their house would be saved with it. I hope you're listening close. Listen close. He did not say, because you're saved, automatically your house is saved with you. He meant this. Because if they had enough faith to be saved himself, his same amount of faith that he had for himself would work for his children. See what I mean? In other words, if you can believe for your own salvation, you don't need a greater measure of faith. If you can truly believe for your own salvation, you can take that very same faith and apply it on your children and believe for their salvation, and they will be saved. Didn't say when, didn't say how. They might look like the worst renegade on the planet before he gets a hold of them. But it's faith. And this is God's word to you, if you can receive it. This is the only promise that you have. That's it. But how many promises do you need? Come on, friends. Now, I've got my children. There's my little son, Joseph, Billy, Sarah, Rebecca. Well, now, I want to see each one of them a worker in the gospel doing something. I want to see them saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, I've committed them to God, and I say, I'm holding on to God for them. Now, you can't make this up. You have to believe it. But he's already given you that promise. But you have to take him. You have to accept that and believe it. I'm holding on to God for them, see? And I believe they're going to be saved, every one of them. See, I believe they're going to be saved. And I'll have them on the other side. And I don't believe my salvation will save them. No, but my faith in God will do it. You see, my faith believing God will do it and will cause them to come to Christ. My faith in God will do it. You want to do something? Here's your part. Take God at his word. You want to see your children saved? Take God at his word. You want to see your family saved? Take God at his word. No, I want you to pray for me. I'll pray with you. I'll pray alongside, but the key is in you. I don't have a promise that I can claim their salvation. There's not a promise given to me. I can't claim anybody's salvation, but I have a promise that my faith can save my children. Did I just read that? I feel like there's a little struggle here. There shouldn't be. This is a simple recipe. It may be hard to do, but it's a simple recipe. So when you get through trying to do all that you can do to make it happen, and you get through with all your prayer lines and everything else that you've tried to do, just remember, if you can just take God at his word. It's wonderful to think about. They'll be there because I want them to be there. Now, if you're calling them a renegade, you don't want them to be there. If your faith tells you they're going to be there, there ain't going to be no renegades there. So you need to change your testimony. They may look like a renegade right now. But then again, some of us did too. I wouldn't have chose me. I wouldn't have picked me out of a lineup. Well, let's line all these people up. Which one of you thinks going to end up being a preacher? Wouldn't have been me. Which one's going to be a Christian? Wouldn't have been me. Which one's going to be a holiness preacher? Not that I didn't want to be. I just couldn't go I couldn't go a week without falling this way or that. But he's kept me. Difference is I was trying to live that life, and now he's living it. That's the difference. Quickly now. I don't believe my salvation will save them. No, but my faith in God will do it. Friends, Abraham said, God, if there's 50 down in Sodom, will you hold back judgment? If I can find 50, if I can find 40, 30, what did it come down to? His family. Who got saved? His family. Why did they get saved? Because Abraham. God gave Abraham the faith. Who do you want to make it? Come on, friends. All that you loved and that loved you will be there. I realize that promise was given to Brother Branham, but I'm claiming the same thing. Who do I want to be there? Well, how can you say that? By faith. Well, prove it to me. By faith. I have a word concerning it. I believe they're going to be saved, and I'll have them on the other side. And I don't believe my salvation will save them, but my faith in God will do it. You see, my faith, believing God will do it, and will cause them to come to Christ. This is, we could go just on and on and on, because what do you think it means to be a Messiah? Right? None of us is a Messiah, but we are Messiahettes. We are anointed ones, right? And as anointed ones, who are you interceding for? Who are you holding out for? Come on, friends. There'll be people on the other side because of you. How many can say, without a shadow of a doubt, I'm here tonight because somebody prayed for me? I'm completely in that category. I had people on both sides of the family praying for me. And in spite of what I was trying to do, here I am. I don't believe my salvation will save them. No, but my faith in God will do it. You see, my faith, believing God will do it, will cause them to come to Christ. So you've got to hold on, just as you believe for your own salvation. You got to hold on to that. You can't be up and down and in and out. And I believe that that's where you people praying for your children, that's the reason your children has the manners and the real lady and gentleman in this wild age that we're living in, yet that part about them that's the best I know of any kids. See, well, I think the reason of that is because it's your prayers for them. And you've committed them to God, and you're holding on. You've got to accept it, you've got to believe it, and you've got to confess it. Because it's the same faith for your own salvation, and your own salvation is based on you accepting it, believing it, and confessing it. You got to hold on to that, friends. Unwavering, unshakable, no doubts. Did I lose you? Are you still here? What do I got to do, Brother Doug? Only. Hear his word. Then take him at his word. We should be seeking his word with all of our hearts. Every time we come together, we should say, speak, my Lord. Speak, my Lord. I'll be quick to follow you. Speak, my Lord. Speak, my Lord. Take him at his word. At thy word, I will. O Lord. Will what? At thy word. Be it unto me according to thy word. Musicians, if you make your way up, let's stand. How many would say tonight, at thy word,
Amen.
Lord?
Amen.
At thy word. Every one of us is going through something. Every one of us is facing something. Every one of us has petitions, desires. I was thinking earlier today, don't throw me under the bus for this thought. But I was thinking before service tonight, the scripture says he will give you the desires of your heart. And it hit me a little different. It hit me that the desire that I have on my heart, he gave me. Think about that. He will give you the desires of your heart. Where do those desires come from? He gave them to me. And then what does he do? He gives you the desires of your heart. It's powerful because you realize, you know what? That isn't even my desire. It's his. He gave me that desire. Didn't he give Abraham the desire for Lot? Abraham couldn't say, well, God didn't care, but I did. Brother Branham said that was Christ working through Abraham. This, friends, this is going to help you. This is going to help you. When you're going through turmoil, when you got a loved one that's a renegade, but they're not, and your heart is just torn. And your heart is just tormented. Why? Because there's a desire there. If you didn't care, there'd be no turmoil. Just throw them under the bus and be done with it. But there's a desire in the heart. And it's tearing you up. And you're looking for relief. Just remember, that desire came from heaven. God gave you that desire so that you would hold on. If you didn't have that desire, you wouldn't call out their name in prayer. If you didn't have that desire, you'd say, well, you know, to each their own. Everybody's got to make their own way. If you didn't have that desire, you might say, well, they're just serpent seed. The next time that you're feeling that struggle and you're wanting God to take that burden from you, recognize you are blessed. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst. Why? They shall be filled. So if you didn't have a hunger or a thirst, you wouldn't be filled. Thank you, Lord, for the hunger. Thank you for the thirst. Thank you for the burden. Thank you for the godly desire. Thank you for not letting me sleep. Thank you for waking me up in the middle of the night because it's tearing me up. Thank you for causing us to pull over on the way to church, to boo-hoo a little bit and put our child before your throne. Because if you didn't do that, we wouldn't do it. And if we didn't do that, they won't come. Who's going to do it tonight, friends? God has to have flesh to work through. Who's going to bear that burden? Who's going to have that desire? God will give you that desire, and then he'll satisfy it. You'll say, my burden is lifted. Well, thank God he fulfilled his word in your life. And you can say, Lord, thank you for using me. It was worth it. Yeah, I paid a price. Yes, I suffered. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, but for the joy. For the joy. It's not all sorrow and grief, but it is sorrow and grief. You want to bring out that essence of the rose? It's got to be squeezed. You got to put it under pressure. You want to find out what it is? Squeeze it. It'll bring out what it is. You want to know that you really have love? You must be mistreated. You must be. Somebody must treat you unjustly so that you can prove that you still love.
Amen.
Otherwise, how do you know? Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Be it unto me according to thy word. Amen. Friends, as we bow our heads here for just a moment, it doesn't matter how long you faced a certain situation. It doesn't matter how many times you sought God. It doesn't matter how many times you prayed about it. There comes a time when we will hear his word. Now, if you're not sure tonight, just be honest with God. Say, God, I'm not sure. Make it real to me. I'm not trying to doubt, but I need you. I need you to show me that it's your word. I need you to give me that faith. And faith comes by hearing. And I know that it'll be simple. So, Lord, I'm going to quit struggling. I'm going to pay you the highest compliment by taking you at your word. Friends, it could be something that you're struggling with. Maybe there's something that you're embarrassed about. Maybe there's some foxes that are spoiling the vine. Maybe there's something that the devil tells you that you'll never get over with. And you spend half your time beating yourself up and feeling bad. And because of this, I can't be that. Why don't you give that over to the Lord tonight? Quit beating yourself up. Quit and let the devil beat you up. And realize, you know what? I need to just believe God. That's where the faith needs to find its resting place, is in these personal things in our lives. When you know that it's impossible, but now it's no longer you trying to overcome it. It's you letting go and saying, God, take this. Give me the faith to believe that it's done. It's over.
Amen.
Whatever it might be tonight, friends, can we just stop for just a couple of minutes? Not belaboring anything, but the words went forth tonight. I know that it's finding its resting place. I know that faith comes by hearing. I know the disciples heard the word of the Lord going forth, and they had to hear it before he said, throw down thy nets. And Peter could then say, nevertheless, at thy word. They had to hear the word first. There had to be a building of faith. There had to be a willingness to believe the impossible. There had to be a willingness to say, I don't know how this could be. I can't do it. But Lord, you said it. Maybe I've struggled to believe this or to believe that or to find healing. Or same faith for our salvation is the same faith for our healing. We can't doubt our healing and believe it at the same time. We have to take God at his word. We have to believe, God, you already healed me. That has to become real to us. Now I'm going to walk in it. I'm going to hold on to it and believe it. I'm not willing to look at anything else. There's no way that I'm not going to manifest healing. I don't know when. I don't know how. It might be the body change. It might be me stepping over to the other side. But you said you are my healer. So I'm going to quit confessing sickness or whatever it might be. This thing that I struggle with. And instead, I'm going to take you at your word. I'm going to believe it. For God, you gave me children. You gave me family. Satan is having a field day. Maybe they've got frost on them. But you're the author of salvation. And Lord, you've given me the faith to believe for my salvation, and I accept it, and I believe it, and I confess it, and I won't move from it. I can't give any evidence. I can't prove. My life is proof of it. The changes that have taken place. Now, Lord, I'm going to take that same faith, and I'm going to place it in the promise that you gave me, that my family can be saved. If I take that very same faith and apply it to my loved ones, God, save my daughters. God, save my son. whatever it might be, save their soul. I'm committing it into your hands and I'm believing it, and I'm not going to struggle. I'm not going to look at circumstances and get all stirred up, and I'm not going to base it on what I see. I'm basing it on what I believe. The same promise you gave me for myself, I can apply that to my family, and I'm going to do it. Just as the children of Israel, as they left Egypt, they weren't going to leave a hoof behind. It was their choice, their decision. They were told, you can go, but leave this, that, and the other. They said, no, we won't even leave a hoof. Everything that's ours, we're taking it. Father, I have that promise tonight. Whatever it might be tonight, friends, I don't know. I don't know what you're going through, but He knows. He's already solved your problem. He already has the solution. It's time for us to say, God, give me your word concerning my situation. And Lord, help my unbelief. I want to take you at your word. Take away the nervousness, Lord. The enemy's tried to cause me to fear and to doubt. But Lord, I want to just take you at your word. You can't lie. If you said it, you'll bankrupt heaven before you allow one word to go unanswered. You will do the very thing that you said that you would do. I want to just simply take you at your word. Show me your way, which is your word, which is your will. And I'll confess it, I'll hold on to it. And Lord, I'll see the glory of God. It might be 5 minutes, it might be 5 days, 5 years, it might be 30 years, like with Abraham. But you'll do it. And I'm going to take you at your word. And I'm going to trust you more and more and more. And I'm going to commit more and more of my life in your hands. I'm going to have a much more positive testimony. My negative testimony comes about because I'm frustrated and I'm not getting the things that I want, and I'm not being treated the way I want. Things aren't going the way I want. But your will is perfect. How could I be discouraged, depressed, fearful, nervous, anxious when I'm walking in your will? That's where my peace is at. That's where my rest is at. That's where the promises are at. That's where your presence is at. That's where the Enoch walk is at. Enoch did not walk with you frustrated. He walked with peace and rest. And then he just changed his dwelling place from here to there. But he was walking with you. So Lord, if there's not going to be a struggle over there, then there's no struggle here when I'm walking with you. If there's no fear over there, there's no fear here when I'm walking with you. If there's no doubt over there, there's no doubt here when I'm walking with you. Shut in with you. I pray that you'd move upon each and every heart, Lord. I pray that every need would be met, Lord. I pray the faith would strike. It's in the building here tonight. I pray that there not be a one of us leave this building tonight without saying, I'll take you at your word, whatever it might be. It's impossible, Lord, for any of us to not have a need or a desire here tonight. Not have something that we're asking for or looking for. May we take you at your word tonight, Lord. Help our unbelief. May that faith find its resting place. And may we pay you that compliment tonight, Lord, by taking you at your word. Heavens and earth will pass away, but not one jot or tittle of your word will ever fail. What confidence we have tonight, Lord. What a promise that we have. What a blessed assurance. I pray that the peace that passes all understanding would find its way in every crack and corner of this building tonight, Lord. I pray that we would all go home on eagle's wings. I pray that we would all go home with a renewed vigor, a renewed vision, an injection of spiritual energy, if you will. ISAV applied. Lord, as we walk these last few moments in the darkest hour in Satan's Eden, May we do it, Lord, walking in the light as you're in the light. And may we do it, Lord, proclaiming your promises. May we do it, Lord, with a positive testimony. May we be on the hallelujah side every step of the way. May we say every step of the way, not my will, but thy will be done. May we say every step of the way, I believe you. I take you at your word. At thy word, Lord. Won't you grant it tonight? How many would like to be remembered in prayer tonight? Just lift your hand to him and say, Lord, I stand here tonight. I'm taking you at your word. I'm committing myself anew tonight, Lord, into your hands. I'm not getting saved over. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take you at your word. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the word that I need in due season. Thank you, Lord, for giving me all that I have need of. Thank you, Lord, for the reminder of the simplicity of how you work with us. Thank you, Lord, for the confidence that we can have in you tonight. The trust that we can place in you. Thank you for that tonight, Lord. I pray that your blessings be upon each and every word. I pray that each one would go home, Lord, with a notch in their belt. Lord, another word of that will produce a testimony, which produces overcoming. Won't you grant it tonight, Lord? We love you and we thank you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Nothing else.